On Friday, February 4th, two veterans of the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq spoke to a packed lecture hall at Harvard University in Cambridge. Michael Hoffman and Kelly Doherty, co-founders of Iraq Veterans Against the War, talked about their experiences in Iraq, stressing that the violence won't end until U.S. troops are out of Iraq. They concluded that the only way to make that happen was through a mass movement in the United States. Mike and Kelly talked with me after the event.
Yes, my name is Kelly Doherty, and I served in the Colorado Army National Guard for 8 years as a medic and as a military police sergeant, and I served a year in Iraq. Upon coming back, I came to Boston for the Veterans for Peace Conference in July of 2003 and met seven other Iraq War veterans, and we announced the formation of Iraq Veterans Against the War at the end of July of 2003. And now we've grown from 8 to over 150 with more encouraging emails and people contacting us every day.
So the public response has been good?
It's been good. Mike had mentioned earlier, you know, for every hate mail we get dozens of encouraging emails supporting what we're doing. So I think overall we've had a very positive, encouraging response.
Can you talk a little bit about what you saw in Iraq when you were there?
Things that I saw in Iraq were a really destroyed population, very desperate, poor people that didn't have jobs and didn't have a means to support themselves or to better themselves. And what I saw our occupation doing was, instead of improving their lot, instead of helping them, was just further causing more violence, more destruction, more inhumane conditions.
Everybody always asks, you know, well, okay, if you want us to get out of Iraq, then what should we do? And what about, you know, the possibility of a civil war? How do you respond to questions like that?
I respond by saying the 2 years that this occupation has been going on, we've continued to see violence escalate, continued to see things worsen every day. Now, 1,446 of our men and women have been killed, on top of the up to 1,000 Iraqi civilians. And, you know, this is getting worse every day. And the longer we stay there, the more of a power vacuum we're creating, the more chaos we're creating, the more difficult we're making it for our withdrawal of troops. So what we need to do is assist the Iraqis on their own, in their own way, with the help that they ask for, and this cannot be done by a military occupation.
Okay, one last question. You're the president now. What are you going to do? I mean, when you talk about assisting them, what can we do?
If I was the president right now, I'd use that $80 billion he's going to ask for to begin bringing the troops home right now, begin a source of aid for the Iraqi people when they ask for it, and also begin by spending that money on taking care of our soldiers instead of abandoning them to their psychological and physical injuries that they've suffered in the war.
My name is Michael Hoffman. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I'm co-founder and national coordinator of Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Okay, and can you talk, just give general impressions of your time in Iraq, what you saw there, particularly in light of what's happening with the Iraqi people, civilian population?
Right. Well, basically, overall, the best way to sum up any wartime situation is it's, you know, something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. The things you experience and go through and that stay with you, you know, is just horrible things that you'll never, ever really be able to put behind you. You know, just looking at the Iraqi people, I can understand why they're doing the things they're doing. I mean, I'm not endorsing it. I'm not condoning it because it's my friends that they're attacking, they're going after there, but I understand why. I mean, the way I get other people to understand it is, say, imagine, you know, I ask, you know, who has a baby brother or sister, you know, a young child at home, and say, now imagine if they were suddenly killed in a random act of violence. How would you feel? What would you want to do to the people who did that? And I say, and now you understand why the people in Iraq are resisting the way they are.
You were talking a minute ago about all the email you get, and some of it's negative. Can you just speak about what's the best sort of argument against what you're doing that you've received, and what's your response to that argument?
The best thought-out argument I receive is people who basically admit that there are no weapons of mass destruction. You know, they were wrong about that, but Saddam Hussein was a bad, horrible man, and it was a good thing that we got rid of him. And now, because of that, Iraq can have democracy. Well, when people bring up that idea, my response generally is, well, you know, he's not the only bad man in the world, but we're not doing anything about them. A perfect example is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a horrible monarchy right now. There is no democratic privilege there. People have their hands chopped off for petty theft. Women have no rights. Are we doing anything about Saudi Arabia? No, because they're our allies and we're getting their oil, you know, without question, and they're really exclusively supplying us. It wasn't about the human rights. It wasn't about those things. It was about oil and oil markets. It was about someone else's agenda. You know, if we were so worried about people's human rights, we would have never done the things we did in South and Central America. We wouldn't be supporting Saudi Arabia. We'd be more concerned about, you know, North Korea than about Saddam Hussein. But, you know, North Korea, we don't have a lot to gain by attacking them, and also they can actually hurt us. You know, it goes back to Vietnam, and they're afraid to start a war that they know they can't win.
There's a lot of talk about permanent military bases. You're talking about Saudi Arabia. There's something like six major military bases there. There's a lot of talk about it and speculation. I've heard everything from 2 to 14 being built in Iraq. Do you know anything about that?
Right now what they're doing, they're building 14 permanent military bases. I don't think we're going to use all of them. I think we'll probably pick 4 or 5 select ones in strategically opportunistic places and use those. I think part of the reason we're doing that is because our position in Saudi Arabia is being continually destabilized. I think, you know, this is just my personal belief from what I read and see and hear, that Saudi Arabia's government probably won't last too long. They're the target of a lot of terrorist attacks there. So I think they're trying to destabilize them. They won't last that long. And I think the U.S. knows that. And that's one of the reasons that we pushed to attack Iraq and build in permanent military bases there to kind of move everybody from point A to point B. I remember when the invasion was over and we were getting ready to head home, there was an article in Stars and Stripes saying that the U.S. is decreasing the number of troops in Saudi Arabia. And we're sitting there laughing like, yeah, because they're all coming here.
Still seeing, you know, support our troops stickers on the back of great big gas-guzzling vehicles and things like that. How does that make you feel? What does that make you think?
A lot of times I just wonder about whoever's driving that vehicle. You know, I wonder about who they are and what they believe. And I think when people who are against the occupation, against what's going on in Iraq right now, put those stickers on, they're really buying into what Bush is telling us. You know, I think to really make a statement about really supporting the troops, you need to put the qualifying statement onto those saying, support our troops, bring them home now.
Check out Iraq Veterans Against War's website at www.ivaw.org. For Making Waves, I'm Tom Jackson.